Whether you're in search of a great new bottle of wine or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Are you glorified fry cook?
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Sip and Chew Show on a little hazy Sunday morning.
Just wait.
Yeah, I know. It's going to get a pretty day today. But good morning, everybody. Good morning, Stu. Good morning. Oh, we have a guest in the studio,
Carl.
Go ahead and introduce. We have a guest in here.
All hour.
The whole time. Yeah. He's got up early.
He got up early.
Okay. But we have a guest in the studio, Carl Tilley, friend of the show.
Long time.
And he moved back to the area, and he's going to be working in the area, already working in the area. Made a career change. A life change.
Absolutely.
We hadn't picked his brain in a while, so we're going to have fun picking his brain. But I'm a little tired today. Actually, January 23rd was my ex-wife's birthday. And I was kind of a little sick, and she was taking care of me while I was healing from COVID.
She's better people than most people. I'll be honest. I haven't even spoken to my ex-wife in, 15 years?
Wow.
16 years? 17 wow. years? A while.
Well, we kept it on the friendly side, and it's a good thing. And she was there for me, and I'm sure I'll be there for her if she gets sick. But, she was well-deserving a night out and took her to dinner.
Yeah.
And we had a great time. We blew it out. And I thought we were gonna watch the cows come home or something, you know, and that sunrise. But now we had a great night. Went to a great restaurant, Kitchen on Main in Daphne, and I realized something. I went inside. I went over to Buster's to have a glass of wine. We had a glass of wine at Buster's Pizza there in downtown Daphne.
Carl was asking yesterday about some good pizza. So
yeah,
I told him. He's looking for a wood-fired brick oven.
Yeah, this wood fire.
Uh-oh.
Sure is.
Come
and
on.
It's brick, too. And anyway, we went over there, and actually went over there for another reason. Some artist had painted a picture of Anthony Bourdain, and they had $60 on it, and I was going to buy it. And I called, and they said, all right, we'll take it down off the wall, and we'll hold it for you till you get here. Well, somebody else walked in. They thought it was me, and they sold it to him. But anyway, walking out the door.
Did you get the artist's name?
Yeah, I got his card.
Contact him, get your own.
Oh, I am. They already texted him last night.
Excellent.
So, anyway, we drank our wine, and we were walking out the door, and Becky had really never seen that much of downtown Daphne. And she said, well, what's this place? So I got the name, and I said, well, you got Guido's, you got Cousin Vinny's, you got Mancy's, you got the place we were in, Brick Oven, the Buster's. Right across the street was where we were going to eat at, Kitchen on Main. Right down the road, you got East Show Cafe, and you got Lodi Beer Garden. I mean, Le Bichon, I'm sorry. And now you got
practically the same thing.
And now you got Dragonfly there.
Okay.
And their second location. You got all these restaurants right there on one corner, one block.
In Daphne,
and it's phenomenal.
We're gonna pick brain Carl's brain for it here in a minute. He's seeing something similar in Ocean Springs.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, I love Ocean Springs. Yeah. I love going downtown Ocean Springs, and used to do it all the time. But I'd always finish up at Bozo's in Pascagoula, or either we'd start there finish there. So, but no, I was just amazed. But the food was wonderful at Kitchen on Main. If you've never been there, you better go because you can cut your filet with a fork.
Absolutely.
And
they don't give you a knife?
Yeah, they give you a knife, but you don't need it.
Oh, okay. That's
I used my knife fancy. I used my knife to cut the salad up with. I didn't have to, but you know when you get a fork full of salad and you try to put it in your mouth and it's out sticking out to your ears, you know.
Well, it's not supposed to have four strips of bacon in it.
Well, no, it didn't have bacon in it. Well, it had bacon.
Okay, the true story
nuts
is coming
and stuff
out.
In it. Even but anyway, it was in downtown Daphne has got it going on.
That's awesome.
And we had a young man at Le Bichon, and he was singing, you know,
that rock and roll.
No, he was singing Frank Sinatra and, oh, and Tony Bennett and
come on,
and he's like standard. 4 foot tall, this kid, and he's got this huge belting, you know, voice, and man, he just drew him in last night, and everybody fell in love with him, and he'll be
Very cool.
Great times in downtown Daphne, Alabama, yeah, of the United States of America. So.
The DAF. He went to the DAF.
Do the DAF. Everybody do the DAF. So anyway, welcome to the studio. Welcome to the show, Carl.
Yeah, good to be back. It's been, gosh, how many years?
More than 6 weeks.
More than six
for
weeks.
For those who don't remember or haven't been around for a while, there used to be an incredible restaurant in the Oakley District called Kitchen on George. And when it was at its peak of popularity, I believe 3 years in a row, best restaurant in Mobile, chef was... Carl was in charge. In fact, I believe that culminated with a best chef in Mobile. And then the next thing you know, here comes New Orleans. Hey, chef.
Absolutely.
Chef,
man.
Come to the Pontchartrain.
Come on.
Yeah. So,
it's been a few years, but like I said, enjoyed sitting in with you guys back then. And when the opportunity came to come hang again, I'm like, heck yeah, let's go.
Yeah. Now, Carl's got a new, you know, lots of us are taking new directions as the years come along and the body doesn't do it. And quite honestly, man, it just doesn't pay enough to work as hard as we do anymore. It just doesn't pay enough. You know, I see all of these, what do they call us in the industry now so we have to go to work?
We're has-beens.
Old people?
No.
Has-beens.
Anyone who's actually having to go to work.
I have no idea what they call us. I just go
no,
to work.
I mean in the quarantine.
I have no idea.
Well, oh, essential.
Essential.
Yeah, I want one of these unimportant jobs. I mean, unessential jobs where you get to sit at home, not do anything, and get paid buku bucks. But I screwed up by working hard all my life. And now I'm stuck having
it'll
to work
pay
hard.
Off.
Rest of my
it'll
life.
Pay off in the long run.
Yeah. Oh, Carl, absolutely. Carl is a, who you're working with Merchant Service?
Yeah, I'm with Merchant Food Service. I'm a sales rep selling food to the restaurants.
Yeah.
And it to me was kind of a natural progressive, you know, progression. Mm-hmm. You know, having worked in kitchens, having led kitchens, having, you know, done menu planning and things like that and menu design. You know, so to have the opportunity to kind of take some of that same skill set and to apply it in a different way. You know, I've been doing this less than a month now, and I can already feel the positive effects on my body.
Right. So,
I mean, the knees don't hurt near as bad, except for when it rains like it did the other night.
Or when the dogs land on
my feet. Yeah, the dogs jump up down on my feet.
Well, you know, it is a natural progression for you guys who are chefs and looking for to go, take what you know and take it in a different direction. And it's great for the company because they're hiring somebody that knows something about the back of the house and some of the front of the house. And you can apply. You can walk in and look. This is what they need.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know exactly what a company need, a restaurant needs.
It's been interesting because, you know, having sat literally on the other side of the table from the rep for so many years and doing the order and all this, there's certain things I've been able to just, you know, in a very short period of time, been able to kind of say, hey, you know, if you use, what, you know, something crazy like an order guide, you know, how much easier to make your life and my life for that matter.
Do an inventory before every
That's
order.
That's crazy.
I know there are people and you and I have both been subject to it, and we'll talk about it in the next segment.
That's radical, really.
But
know what you have.
You know, these restaurants that constantly run out of stuff that's popular, they're not doing an inventory. They're just walking in there, oh, shoot, I got to have this order done in 10 minutes. Let's just get four cases of this, get five cases of that.
Yeah, I don't have time to go to it. And then next thing you know, boom. You're overloaded and you've got stuff going out of date.
And then they're having to run specials because they keep ordering one thing every single time that they don't ever sell.
All righty. We're coming up on our first break. 343-0106.
If you want to talk to Carl.
Yeah.
Or even if you don't want to talk to Carl.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
All right, y'all. We is back with Carl Taylor.
Speaking of one-hit wonders.
I know, right? It was that first show.
So anyway.
It was great. We've never been able to replicate it since.
Yeah, so Chef Carl Tilley is with us from Merchant Food Services. He's going to be with us the whole hour. And Carl is taking over a little area right on the state line, just across it from us, the very eastern edge of southern Mississippi. And one of the reasons Mike and I wanted to have him in is because we forget. And, you know, I've reminded people when Sally came through and we were without power for several days, I drove 45 minutes to the west in Mississippi, and we had jacuzzi tubs and electricity and ate at great restaurants. You know, and I was like,
I think he just went for the jacuzzi tub.
That's what she did. I went for the chicken fried steak at Chesterfield's for breakfast.
Yeah.
Mike, they start slinging the booze at 8 a.m. at Chesterfield's.
Oh.
Yeah. For breakfast.
For breakfast.
Just breakfast.
I can see that.
Yeah. And so.
Where are you going to be tomorrow at 8 a.m., Mike?
He's always, Bob's Downtown Diner, where they also start slinging the alcohol at 8 a.m. at the corner of Fat and Happy.
I resemble that.
Carl's little thing has taken him to a bunch of little places that are not things you would see on a sign on the side of an interstate and that you probably don't read about in the society section of the paper.
That's what I like.
Yeah. There's a society page in the paper?
Is there a paper?
I know, right?
Yeah, it's a .com paper.
Yeah.
So we brought him in, and the very first place that comes to mind, and Deborah Hodges from Hall's Sausage contacted me yesterday because she was in Van Cleef looking for some place that we had posted the other day. And so Carl's in there working on his computer. By the way, Carl's hanging out with me for a few weeks until his wife gets moved down and he can get his new place set up. So, and you would think, wow, two chefs in the same house, there must be a lot of cooking going on.
No
cooking. None. Lots of not cooking. But anyway, was it George's or Georgia's?
Georgia, like the state.
Okay.
George's Corner Market. Laura and the crew who run that, the chef Gretchen, she's bad butt in the kitchen. And has got better tattoos than most guys I know.
Sound like my kind of woman.
I know, right? but Georgia was Laura's grandmother or mother. I don't recall which.
Right.
But they opened this up a few years back, and it's as good as any quote-unquote fine dining or upscale, you know, kind of restaurant that you would go to. They're doing things the right way. They're doing things from scratch. You know, they're not just opening a can of something and warming it. And they've got some very exacting standards, which is always nice to see and nice to hear.
Yeah.
Just they're on Highway 57. You can't miss them if you're going through Van Cleef on Highway 57 because they're right there. You know,
you mean you're going through Van Cleef on the road.
Yeah, the road.
Yeah.
But you know, they're doing things right. You know, they're using quality meats. Their brunch on Saturdays, they have a line out the door.
Wow.
On Saturday mornings.
Wow.
And, I mean, they have folks coming from Mobile, coming from New Orleans even in some instances.
Are they full capacity yet? Or?
Yeah.
I think so in Mississippi anyway.
And the way they're set up, it would, you know, they're full capacity. You're not on top of people anyway. So they understand the flow of business in a restaurant. So they know that, hey, look, we can only really seat X number of people.
Right.
We don't need to be trying to, you know, go above and beyond our capacity to kill our kitchen, to kill our staff.
Yeah.
So they've got a really good head on their shoulders, but the food is just incredible. So
road trip.
Yeah, road trip.
Yeah, so that's in Van Cleef. Another place that I've seen him talking about and sharing is another butcher shop. You know, I'm into my butcher shops. This one's in Hattiesburg.
Loosedale.
Loosedale, yes, thank you. Hattiesburg is the one I want to send you to, the Little Butcher Shop.
Okay.
In Hattiesburg. Get some of that blueberry sausage.
All right.
But the Blind Butcher is
Blind
what you're
talking about. Blind Butcher
in Loosedale. If you're familiar with Loosedale, they just built the McAllister's.
And they're literally right behind them.
You can't see it. That's why it's the Blind Butcher.
You cannot see the building
butcher shop.
From the main the little drag there.
Yeah,
but if you go to the side of the McAllister's, there it sits. And they are doing some really creative things.
So on, which road is it on?
Whatever that's called.
Whatever that's called.
Is it the Walmart Road?
No.
It's not. It's not.
It is the.
This is not 98.
It's in downtown.
Yeah. It is. You turn left off of 98. I believe that's 26 or was back in the day.
It goes through downtown Lewistown.
It goes all the way to Williams.
Yeah.
Okay.
And.
But yeah, I mean,
it's there's a weird little intersection there where you got a four-way stop and two. I don't know why they put them up. They're belt lines.
Yeah.
On a road that has a 35 mile an hour speed limit, so you're going to get off on the belt line and do 34.
Yeah.
But it's that weird little intersection where they all come together. The Sonic is there, the Hardee's, yeah, all of that stuff is right there.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
But
yeah.
Right by, but I know where you're talking about.
Right on the side of where that McAllister's is this nice little shop. And again, they're not cooking it.
It's a butcher shop.
It is a butcher shop. Mm-hmm. But they're doing some really neat things. I mean, again, high quality meats. They're doing some very creative presentations.
Apparently, their meatloaf is very popular.
Yeah, because they can't keep it.
Yeah.
You know, but for Easter, they were doing lamb. They were doing, you know, some really nice lamb. Mm-hmm. I mean, they also doing some things where they did a jambalaya stuffed chicken breast.
Yes.
And I got to tell you, I'm like, I'm down.
Yeah.
Sign me up. They were also doing some other little things like that. But, I mean, it's just very creative. And I mean, to give you an idea, the other day when I was in there, they had just posted a YouTube video or Facebook video or whatever. And in less than 24 hours, in like 9 hours it was, they had over 1,200 views.
Wow.
Now, I don't know. I don't care who you are.
So that many people in Lewistown?
Apparently, everybody in Lewistown saw it twice.
Well, you're not counting Buzzard's Roost.
Buzzard's Roost.
Oh, wow.
And Agricola, yeah.
But the point being, in a very short period of time, they have built a clientele through their social media.
Yeah.
That is just, I mean, is as good, if not better, than most of your bigger type, you know, establishments. So they're using that in a very positive way to do some really nice stuff.
And you know, my dabblings in the butcher industry, uncovered a lot of ugly truths about butchering at a grocery store versus real butchering. And luckily, Rouse's, the beef we sold, the pork we sold, they're all from the U.S. There were South Dakota, Nebraska, yeah. Kansas, places you would expect to get good beef from. But a lot of the other big chains, none of their meat comes from America, not their pork or their beef. It's one of them, the beefiest people you can think of, most of it comes from Mexico.
Yeah.
It gets worse. The lower the price goes, the more likely it is that your meat came from China.
Mm-hmm. Or elsewhere.
Right. And, you know, there are some really big box places out there that, yeah, Australia is supplying a lot of beef, too. And
absolutely.
It's horrible quality beef, too. By the way, that's where McDonald's gets their beef, is Australia. Mm-hmm. But, the lower you go on the socioeconomic ladder, where you buy your groceries, the better the chances are that you're going to get something that is going to, if not make you sick overnight, make you sick in the long run.
Yeah. Right. I know.
Enjoy that third eyeball. No way. No telling where it's going to grow. Hopefully the back of the knee, because that'd be handy.
The thing that I like about most of the beef that Blind Butcher is using is a Hereford beef product. It's very breed specific.
Is that where that steak was from?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Yes. Carl brought home... In French, Colts de Biff. We know it as a cowboy ribeye.
Oh, boy.
It was about 2 inches thick, bone in. And
it was probably about, what?
Maybe 2 1/4?
It was at least 2.
I fed 3 people dinner off of it and had leftovers to make 2 more meals off of 1 steak.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic.
And I won that in a contest. Heck yeah.
Well, really.
You ever seen the guy in Italy?
There's a lot of them.
He's called, to be less vague.
They did a documentary. There's been several shows done on. He's a butcher.
Okay.
And he.
I know. I can't think of
those ribeyes or steaks that he does are about 4 inches thick.
Oh yeah.
And he puts them on that fire. It'll bend up great. It's bent.
Yeah.
And curved all different ways because it's the heat has made it do that.
Well, I did a dry cure on mine.
That was a great documentary on that guy.
I did a dry cure on it, which, if you don't know, Mike, is what I was telling you. You salt the steak 2 days before you can cook it.
I do mine at least that morning before I cook it that night.
Yeah, with something this thick, I needed the full – and I even looked it up on one this big. They say minimum 48 hours, and that lets the salt get all the way through it. And then all I put on it was black garlic and pepper.
Black garlic?
Black garlic. I got some
– okay.
It's in the cabinet. Right. I got black garlic and black garlic salt.
Heck yeah, man.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's – but anyway, the Hereford product, it's the thing I like about it, and especially the product that we provide to folks – it is very brand specific. It's very breed specific. It's not one of these, you know, and it's also certain specs that, again, no cow is over 32 months old.
Right.
That we use, period. You know, the standards, if you compare it to USDA Prime, is we literally sat down with a USDA Prime and a Hereford. And it went, you know, apples to apples, oranges to oranges comparing, and it was amazing. 40% of the people in the room picked the Hereford over the USDA Prime for flavor.
Wow. 3430106.
Hey, that's our phone number.
That's interesting.
You can text us, too.
Text us. We got some text coming in, but it has nothing to do with our show.
So we'll skip it.
So we won't be reading those. But we will the
you
others.
You can't even read that one on the air.
No.
Oh, I can guess
the words. The FCC's upstairs.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Say some words.
Be clever. I think it's worse. It's talking about the ice. All the hell.
You mean the normal thunderstorms we get in April?
They're talking about the hail storm in Orange Beach and Gulf Shores.
Yeah, hail is normal. Hail that size.
That ain't normal.
That's some big old hell. That's some big old hell.
Like Bjorn Borg and Andre Agassi was out there slapping them around.
So that would be a hail, yes.
I have a friend down there. She's got skylights in her house.
Had.
They're damaged now. I remember when she bought the house, she said, "I love my skylights." Now, yesterday morning,
My skylights
are leaking.
They got holes in them.
That, and you imagine all the car dealers having to deal with all that?
Yep.
Ooh, mercy.
Yep. They are rocking on the coast. Mm. Restaurants, bars, everything.
Yeah.
They are getting it done, son.
I still talk to some folks over up near Birmingham, and I've got friends who've got places out in Texas, and, you know, of course, we're having worked in Louisiana and all, and everywhere is rocking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's all that money in people's pockets.
Ain't nobody working.
And half of them ain't working. Yeah. Which, you know, here's my quick rant for the day. Everybody, guys, I don't care if you're talking convenience stores, fast food, fine dining, upscale dining, you name it. Every place you're going to go into to eat, they are shorthanded.
Yeah.
Or buy any kind of retail.
Right. Yeah. Whether in the kitchen or whether in the service staff. There have been, over the last several weeks, there have been places that normally would be open. I mean, good places who could not open on a Friday night because they didn't have the staff.
Right. I've seen people post pictures. They're having Southwood. They're having to close now one night a week so they can give their staff a day off.
Yeah. And what's happened is the few people who are showing up to work, every single dang one of them are now overworked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, having been there, having been in those situations, I will tell you, God bless them all.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally, this week, I've had three people offer me a job. Mm-hmm. You sure you don't want to quit that and get back in the kitchen? And I'm like, don't get me wrong. I love cooking. I do.
Yeah.
But I'm good, you know. I'm good.
I bought a mattress 3 weeks ago, and the mattress place I went into, the one was filling out the paperwork. The credit manager or whoever he was says, "You know anybody looking for a job?" He said, "We need help."
Everybody. Yeah. I mean, it's everybody, and that's the problem. When folks pay folks to sit on their butt,
guess what they do?
They sit on their butt.
That's what they do.
Or they sit on their blessed assurance, or however you want to call that.
Yeah.
But, you know. I'll be honest. I'd rather sitting at home drives me crazy. Back when COVID started, you know, last year, and I got, you know, the restaurant I worked for closed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those 6 weeks or whatever it was that I didn't work. Don't get me wrong, I was making okay money sitting there, but it drove me absolutely positively crazy because that's not how I'm wired. Right. You know, I want to be in there doing something.
Right.
And, you know, but anyway, enough of that little rant on my part, because Lord knows I could beat
Well,
that.
I think we all three could do the same rant.
Yeah. And I see a lot of comments on Facebook and other social media about people saying, man, customer service is just out the window. No, it's not. It's 100% there. You're needy. You need to back off.
I have a good
friend. You need to come in, order way it is on the menu. If you go into a store, you're looking for blue socks from a certain brand, don't you dare ask them, can you go to the back and see if there's any more out there? If they had them, they'd be out there. That should be your assumption. Anything you see at a store, if they had it, it'd be out.
All those cats, and I don't care if we're talking retail, I don't care if we're talking restaurant.
Right.
Everybody right now, all those guys are just stressed out their butt.
Yep, they are.
Okay.
Yep.
And you know,
if you're picky, stay home. Period. Leave the pickiness at home. Your parents should have taught you better.
Or better yet, take advantage of one of the food delivery services.
Yeah.
If you're gonna be a butthole, I don't know if I can say that, but you know.
Yeah, that one's okay.
Okay, but if you're gonna be a butthole, and if you know that you're that type, if you're a Karen in this world, or whatever the male equivalent is, stay your butt at home. Mm-hmm. Get online to either Uber Eats or Waiter or DoorDash or whatever they call it here, and order that crap there so you ain't got to be face-to-face with those people and show your butt.
Three or four years ago, a high school kid
Let me
started
real
Dapper.
Quick that actually, that's not what happened, but I'll tell you later.
I've actually heard this story. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I know the story.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there were no delivery services, and he got it started. They got somebody involved in it, and then it changed, and...
But the point being, if you're going to be a butthole, stay home.
Absolutely.
And also on
that
note, get
that stuff to go.
If you use a delivery service, at no time should you ever contact the restaurant. You're not doing business with them.
Yeah.
You're doing business with the delivery company.
Right.
The restaurant should tell you, call the delivery company and hang up. That's all they should do. A lot of them try and help. They shouldn't. They're too busy. That's why you have a delivery company. Yeah. You are not the restaurant's customer.
And let me also say this. If you're one of those delivery drivers, I witnessed an incident up in Birmingham.
Oh, there's some cake.
And I'm not going to get into the specifics of where I was at the time or anything like that. Mm-hmm.
Birmingham's enough.
But I was in Birmingham. Actually, I was in Alabaster. Let me not lie. And I saw a delivery person for a certain national delivery company be the most unprofessional piece of garbage that you can imagine.
I've seen that too.
And the manager who dealt with this young lady had more class in his little finger and how he handled that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. She's young lady was making some very derogatory comments about the understaffed restaurant people. And, you know, I just can't believe this ain't ready. I can't believe that. Da, da, da. And I almost looked at the lady and went, do you not see all the cars? Do you not see all these people everywhere?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think you're that much more special than everybody else?
Every restaurant that I've worked at, when you have a delivery order, it goes to the bottom of priority.
It doesn't necessarily go to priority because it depends on timing. There's a timing thing involved.
Oh, yeah,
but the point being,
but I'm taking care
they're
going to the
get they're going to get it out to you as soon as they can.
Right.
There was no need for this young lady to be rude, crude, and socially unacceptable. And the manager just looked there and just said, "Ma'am, next time you come in here, be better and do better."
Yeah, that's a great way to do it.
And I went, wow, may we all do better and be better, especially if we're the customer.
Yeah.
Because, you know. But.
Yeah, I noticed a lot, most every restaurant cut back their menu tremendously. And mainly focus on the things they can get out.
Even places like McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
For example, have modified their menu.
Yeah.
And to me, that's...
And I hope it stays that way. There are some things that everybody would like
preach.
To... But our
like
menus are too large.
The frappes? I'll admit those
menus are too large. And what they found in this, and you can attest to this, is they found things that were on their menu that they quite honestly didn't sell very often. And get rid of them.
Every,
if you don't sell it
every month,
day...
Every month to 6 weeks... 3 months at the absolute. If you are in the restaurant industry, please listen to the following words. This is to help you, not to hurt you. Every so often, you need to look at what we would call a product mix, a P-mix, a sales report that breaks down what you sell and how many of each. I'm here to tell you, usually the bottom two items or more on your product mix probably need to go away. Because at the end of the day, more than likely, you're not selling enough of it to justify what you're doing. We have a, I have a client who I shall not name, and we were looking at their menu and looking at the size of what they do. They have, their menu is way too large, way too large, not even close. And the gist being, help us help you.
Yeah.
If you cut off these three or four items that, that you're only selling a couple a day, it's not worth you buying a case of this product. It's going to sit in your freezer. Utilize that space for things that people are buying more frequently.
Absolutely.
And I think if more people did that.
Simplify that menu.
Yeah. I mean, and have a lot of crossover stuff.
Have nothing on that menu.
That doesn't go with something else.
Yeah. If you've got it in your kitchen, it needs to go in at least two dishes. Or don't bring, unless you're charging a really high price for it.
And,
yeah.
And the point is, if you can use it for both breakfast and lunch, great. Or dinner and lunch, great. But if you're just using it for this one little thing,
get rid of it.
You've lost your dang mind.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. As y'all can tell, I get a little passionate, especially in the morning.
Chef, why you chef people do. That's why I see us wine people,
you guys are relaxed and chill.
We just relax and chill and listen to y'all fuss. But y'all are a little chefs are a little stressed.
We're all high strung.
You are very high strung. Yeah. And but, I mean, when I first started dealing with Stu, I'd go into one of the restaurants he's at. I stuck my head in the door to get out of my kitchen.
That's awesome. Done that a few times.
Yeah. Well, I have worked at some places, man, where friends of the owners will just walk through the kitchen.
Then I won't work there.
Right. And I try and tell customers, because there are lots of customers who like to step back in the kitchen and see how things are going. You're not a customer when you step in that kitchen. You're someone that's there to rob us. Everyone's going to pick up a knife the second you walk in there.
That's what we're taught to do.
Mm-hmm.
We had a thing at KOG, and of course, you know, when I was at Kitchen on George, we had a lot of students in and out all the time. And that was different because we all knew who they were because of how they were dressed. Because we were dressed similarly. Mm-hmm. But if someone walked in that kitchen that you didn't recognize with the staff, that was high alert stuff, man.
Yeah.
It was like, no, uh-uh. Absolutely not.
I can't tell you how many times those friends of the owners have been just completely three sheets to the wind when they stumbled through, too.
Of course, then sometimes they don't even have to be friends of the owner. That someone just stumbles in, and you're like, who are you?
At the bars, we've both done some time in pubs and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's a whole different element when you add in
the alcohol.
Yeah.
The alcohol.
You have people that drink at restaurants.
Really?
No.
Yeah.
You don't have anywhere near
the number of people who get absolutely lubricated as you do at like a gastro pub or something. And like I've told Mike before, I don't go to bars that don't serve food. I have no interest in, because first off, I don't drink that much. Second, you don't see barroom brawls at an Applebee's. You do see them at a dive bar.
Well, you shouldn't all be the time. You shouldn't be hanging at all those strip clubs, bro.
Well, I would, but there aren't as many. It's not all theirs. And I don't know if things have changed over the few years, but when I was a young buck that did that, Mobile was not the best stripper clubs in the area.
I have no knowledge.
Mike,
where do you go?
Ian? Ian doesn't
I got
have a
nothing.
Microphone, nor is he old enough to buy alcohol yet, I don't think. So he doesn't get any input.
I have no knowledge
of
this subject.
No comment
means guilty as charged. Yeah.
That's why I'm happily married. I have no comment to anything.
I'm happily divorced. And
I have no comment.
Mike says he's not going to another strip club till Westminster Village has one.
Lord of mercy.
I got no clue what the chicken pot pie.
So where are you headed this week?
I'll tell you when we come back.
All right. 343-0106. If you'd like to text us, I'm sitting here reading one right now about a local restaurant. Friends of ours.
We have local restaurants. That's
awesome. Well, I wear this net on my head.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Say say something.
So.
Something.
Carl.
Sir.
Sir, yes, sir.
So when's your wife coming down?
She moves down around the 30th of this month.
Okay. All right. So, have you enjoyed this time without her?
No.
No, he misses.
You know what to say.
I like my wife. I actually enjoy.
You know what to say, don't you?
I'm just being honest. I enjoy.
Does she miss you?
Now that you'd have to ask her, but I think she does. I believe she does. Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's good.
I'm sure if we could get her alone somewhere, we can ask her.
Well, you know, I'll make sure I can clear her schedule
off the record.
Off the record.
Yeah, it's off the record.
You know that guy, but anyway,
I'm just picking.
That's good.
I'm just picking. I'm sure she's excited for you. And
Well, yeah, this was something that we both – the move was something we had both decided to mm-hmm. do. So, for me, this is coming home, basically.
Yeah.
You know, growing up in Long Beach, Mississippi, at, mm-hmm. just up the road, as it were.
Mississippi.
So, Mississippi.
Mississippi.
Or, as we like to say, the SIP.
The landmass.
SIP and chew. Hi, wait
I'm from Mississippi.
Yeah, the landmass.
I'm from
the
New Orleans.
The landmass between Mobile and New Orleans.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's you know, like I said, getting a chance to come home. We enjoyed our time down on the coast last time, and so it was mm-hmm. it was an easy sell. Let's just say
it's a beautiful part of the state
and
the Gulf Coast and the country, just beautiful all along there. Except when a hurricane hits.
Well, you know, like I said, I've always said, you know, anywhere below I-10 is a good day.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good place to live.
Yeah.
You know, anything about that, I begin to question if they're Yankees or not.
Well,
so.
You know, our good friend Carlos Fall Jr.,
yep,
musician
yep,
extraordinaire,
yep.
played last night over in Gulfport with his
yep.
band. He used to always tell me anything north of I-10 mm-hmm. is a Yankee.
Yeah.
Would you like to know where his farm is?
Above I-10.
A little north
of I-10. I'm going to have fun with this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. By the
I think, see, they were playing at, what, Marina Cantina last night?
Yeah.
Gulfport?
Yeah,
I think.
Gulfport.
But they're about to open, one of those in Ocean Springs, by the way.
We discussed this earlier. A lot of wealthy people who lived on the coast, who could afford to live on the water mm-hmm. there after the last hurricane, Katrina mm-hmm. mainly, they all moved north of I-10 and to Van Cleve and
those
areas. And there's some beautiful big – there's horse ranches. There's mm-hmm. beautiful big houses over there.
I get to drive up in that neck of the woods all the time.
And I used to watch that. I used to call on Van Cleve a long time ago, and there was nothing there.
Absolutely.
The John Grisham novel, The Jury, that was set in Gulfport about mm-hmm. the tobacco thing. Have you read it, Carl?
No.
Okay.
I've read some of his stuff, but not that one.
That's the one you should read.
Okay.
Because Carl and I met in the 80s in Perkinston, Mississippi, going to Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College.
Go Bulldogs.
Yeah, go Bulldogs. Perk Bulldogs. Wasn't that
Perk Bulldog, yeah.
That's what, three now? Anyway.
And a gold.
Anyway. There are roads that he lists in there that you will remember taking going from Perk to Pascagoula or Ocean Springs. And that's – and the whole book, I'm just going – I know the exact curve
he's talking about.
Highway 50.
Yeah. Exactly.
A lot of it's on Highway 15, which was this curvy little thing that we would take from Pascagoula to get to Perkinston because I had a bunch of friends that lived in the Goshen and Gula area. And
well,
it's
showed,
Gula, y'all.
I believe he had a house on the coast.
I wouldn't be surprised.
After Katrina, one of the news stations was interviewing him and his wife, and they were standing on the foundation where his house was.
Yeah.
I want to say St. Louis, but I'm not sure.
That's
facing the beach.
I know that's where Emeril had a house.
Yeah. Yeah.
Had. Yeah.
He's now in Florida doing whatever it is he's doing.
Yeah, well.
He pops up in Orange Beach occasionally.
Yeah. Yeah. Johnny Fisher used to work for him, I believe, at the flagship, Emeril's, in the warehouse district.
Love that place.
Or not Johnny Fisher, but Bill Brand, his chef, mm-hmm. his chef down there at Fisher's. And he actually Bill does this thing where he does a guest chef from around the country during the summers.
Okay.
Emeril did the very first one.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
Came in and cooked the dinner. And I think Emeril has been back since. I believe John Fols has been over.
Well,
a lot of the big names.
So you're heavy hitters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it's cool. A great series. I haven't been asked yet. I'm the most famous chef in Sims, Alabama.
We have not been asked to sign Pete's wall at some point.
We even asked about it. My goodness.
I have nothing to say either way.
Yeah. Okay.
A dog in this fight I do not have.
You remember our good buddy Panini Pete.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we got one Panini Pete's now.
Okay.
Because he turned one of them, the one in downtown Mobile, into a killer gastropub called Squid Ink.
Right.
He's got Sunset Point. If you haven't been, when you and Janet get back.
Janet didn't eat seafood, bro.
Oh, that's right. Well, you know, I'm sure he's got some chicken wings you can gnaw. You're pescatarian. She's chickatarian.
She's actually got on this no red meat thing.
Maybe they can cook up some turkey necks for her.
Mike has the list of where to go for turkey necks.
Oh, Jesus.
Mary's Country Kitchen.
Y'all trying to get me divorced.
She like turkey necks.
She's going to listen to this, and I'm going to get called some names.
Janet, we love you.
Not as much as I do.
Yeah, that's true. You made my man happy. That makes you good in my book.
I've saw somebody posted yesterday. They had some dish. I forgot what it was. All I noticed was a big turkey neck laying on the plate. I'm going,
yep.
Hey.
Somebody's happy.
If that makes you happy, I'm down with it.
It's the flavor, I guess.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely nice flavor.
Yep.
My brother loves turkey necks. Loves them. In fact, he loves turkey. It's probably his favorite animal to gnaw on.
Mm-hmm.
He looks forward to Thanksgiving every year, wants a roasted turkey and a smoked turkey usually.
I want a fried turkey with some Gewürztraminer.
I want a fried turkey with
and
some
dressing. I love the
oyster dressing.
I'll tell you where to get a real good fried turkey sandwich.
My house.
Arby's. Arby's can flat do that fried turkey sandwich. Carl's about to hit
me. Oh,
my
God.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this about Arby's.
I'm not.
They got a fantastic gyro. It is surprisingly good.
Wait a second. Yesterday, I was at Mediterranean Sandwich Company.
Yeah.
Thank you. In the discussion there.
Yep.
Now, I will also say over in Ocean Springs on Government Street, there's a place called Glory Bound Gyro Company.
Yeah. I go there every time.
Let me tell
you. First place we stop at.
The hummus there. Oh, my goodness. And they've got like 6, 7, 8 different flavors now. They have one they call their Cajun hummus. Hello, nurse.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
There was a place on Esplanade. Help me with that. Esplanade.
Esplanade
in the Marigny. Is that the?
Marigny.
Marigny.
Oh, Lord. I'm amongst the heathens today.
There was a I interviewed for an executive chef position at a rum Caribbean Creole fusion restaurant there. And it was 2 weeks before the Super Bowl was in New Orleans. They ended up going with a local guy and then came back and asked me 3 months later to come along. They're not there now.
Yeah, well, you know.
We did the interview because they didn't want people at the restaurant seeing new chefs coming in.
Right.
At a Mediterranean restaurant that had jalapeno juice they poured on the hummus. Fantastic.
I've been there. Absolutely. Carl, thank you for getting up early this Sunday morning and when you could have been sleeping late getting more beauty rest.
Yeah, I need a lot of that. But no, I'm actually up early anyway. I've become a morning person, which is kind of wild.
Awesome.
So
as have I. My
it's different.
It's not a problem, man.
Folks, get out there, support local, be local, buy local. Tip those servers. Be patient. You bring your patience when you go to a restaurant.
And leave
right
your
now.
Nitpickiness at home.
Or there bring my go. Patience when you go.
Or
bring
pay
someone's
extra.
Patience. Just and bring
Carl,
some patience.
We want you to provolone, buddy.
Provolone, buddy.
All day, baby.
All day.
Wonderful spams, wonderful spams, wonderful spams, wonderful spams, wonderful spams, wonderful spams.